So you draw two axes. The first axis is this here, y-axis, and that is the quest for fundamental understanding. If my work is for solving a fundamental problem, then I am on the positive y-axis. If it is not, I am on the negative axis. In the same way, consideration of use. If my work has some use, then if it is yes, I am on the positive x-axis, and if it is no, I am on the negative x-axis. So you have got the four quadrants in this space. Now the first quadrant here, fourth quadrant, is fundamental understanding yes and consideration of use no, is the pure basic research, and this quadrant is called the Bohr quadrant. The reason being that Bohr was not interested in any application, he was interested in understanding the line spectrum of hydrogen atom, and that is what is the pure basic research. The second one, very important quadrant, which is fundamental understanding is yes, consideration for use is yes. This is the user-inspired basic research, and this is called the Pascher quadrant. As I said previously, the Pascher was interested in answering questions like how the milk spoils and so on and so forth. And during that work, he laid foundations of microbiology, the fundamental understanding. The third quadrant is fundamental understanding no, the consideration of use yes, and that's Edison quadrant. This is a pure applied research. In the modern context, this could be termed as a reverse engineering. That is, you don't add any fundamental knowledge by your work, but you get something done out of your work. And the third quadrant here is a question mark. And that is, there is no fundamental understanding and no use. We will look at this quadrant little later. So this is how we describe these quadrants, that this is the pure basic research, yes and no, curiosity driven, pure voyage to discovery. This is yes, yes quadrant, the Pascher quadrant, work that locates the center of research in an area of basic scientific ignorance that lies at the heart of a social problem. The second quadrant is the pure applied research, where the inventor is driven to solve a practical problem. This is one particular quadrant that is a big sink in R&D. That is, if the objective, the end goal of research is other than curiosity or application, all that scientific work will end up into that no-no quadrant. Now, I have been talking about this at various places, and then, of course, I will not ask this question here, but then, we start doing in India these things right from the beginning. We have a PhD student, we know that he needs to get a PhD. For that, he needs to get one publication. So the whole work starts with the objective that you need to get a paper. It has got nothing to do with fundamental understanding or any application. That work lies in the no-no quadrant. If I'm a senior man, I need a promotion, I need some award, I need certain number of publications. So I keep doing that. And during that process, I don't add any new knowledge, nor any new application. All that work I'm doing falls into this quadrant. So this, remember that this is the quadrant which needs to be watched very, very carefully by all of us. And this is a sink. In many universities and institutes, when I go and say that, look, can you just tell me how much of your work falls into this quadrant? And then the number starts 10%, 20%, 30%, 40%, and sometimes people are candid enough to say that majority of work lies here. I ask them another question, that look, then you can imagine a z-axis here, and see then the number of people working in the particular quadrant. And that will tell you what is the character of your organization. If it is a Pascher-like organization, which is taking up the social problems and giving rise to also fundamental understanding and application, you would have much more population in this quadrant than any other thing. So this is to do this, and now you can see here that this is the most important quadrant, that undermines both fundamental knowledge and consideration of use. Now one asks this question, that this is just to give a little bit more description on that, the partial quadrant, this is a two-dimensional theory now, it expands the linear one-dimensional model to a two-dimensional plane that seeks to replace the idea of unsolved quest for knowledge with a desire to solve a practical problem. And this model excited many in science policy and academics. I just bring here a quotation from George E. Brown, US congressman, who said that the Stokes analysis will, one hopes, finally lay to the rest the unhelpful separation between basic and applied research that has misinformed science policy makers for decades. Now, what is the basic problem? Let me come to the last one and then we'll discuss this. The question that one asks is that what is the basic premise of the partial quadrant? And the basic premise is the motivation of the researcher at the time of the work decides outcome of the research. Now, mind you, this is a very important statement, that I can be in the pure basic quadrant, I do some work, and then I say my work will be useful, is not so. What was my motivation at the time of doing my research that will decide the outcome? This is more like what Gita also says, that karmanye vadhikaraste ma phaleshu kadachana. What it says is that once you have done the karma, the fruits of the karma are embedded in itself. You don't expect some other fruits. The fruits are embedded in the karma what you are doing. And that's exactly what partial quadrant is saying. Then you ask the question, what is the motivation? What is that decides the motivation of the researcher to take up a certain work? And that is how I'm not going to motivate, how one can do that. So by and large, this motivation depends on many factors. And I'm not going to give a commentary on what is happening in the Indian context, but you can, this tangential remarks will suffice what I have to say. How the systems of innovations, they are organized. The second one is, what causes them to organize like this? What are the values, norms, structural factors that have been related to the success and failure of the individuals in those systems? This is what the community need to decide. And how the systems interrelate and respond to the environmental changes. Just give you an example, that as director of chemistry group, if I tell my people that, look, get me 10 papers every day, I will give you A1. What will happen? People will get polarized and either they will come here, produce 10 papers and show me. If I say, look, I need 10 technologies from this whole group in a year's time, then what people will do is that they will start looking somewhere here and some people will work here. It is what is the motivation that the system is providing. And accordingly, the researchers will polarize themselves to do this. This is one important thing that we need to realize, that it is the motivation. What is the motivation we give to the researcher to position himself here, 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 or here? And that is the most important thing in science. And now let me just give you a little bit of thing. I have not got many slides on this, but. When this model came up, it has been implemented in various systems, and this is one beautiful report, how university departments respond to the rise of academic entrepreneurship. The academic entrepreneurship is when both, you need to have a PhD, therefore you need to have new knowledge, but also that work must relate to some entrepreneurship, some application. And this is a beautiful report for Danish research. This particular model has also been used in the medical science, the partial quadrant coupling knowledge with action. You can read this. This is a beautiful article, the new world of discovery, invention and innovation, convergence of science, technology and society. So article which also used this. Now I'll just come to this particular issue here, that is it possible that simultaneously we can do good basic research and also lead to development of technologies? That means we need to polarize our scientists into this quadrant. Is it possible to do that by providing proper motivation and the reward system? Now, it does not mean that we will not like people to do pure basic research. But when we say pure basic research, it must be at the high end of this y-axis. It should not be here, close to no. But you must really do very high-end basic research, and that is where I will borrow Bush's statement. The defining characteristic of basic research is its attempt to find more general physical natural laws to push back the frontiers of fundamental understanding. So that particular research should not lie here, but it should be much above. Whereas you are free to wander in this particular quadrant, you should not be here. And this is what we should not be doing, no reverse engineering in the new economic conditions. You can't do much with it. So these are the areas we identified. And this is an experiment carried over 2 years. And I'll tell you what the results of this experiment are. These are about, you can say, about 200 scientists. I'm talking only about the scientists, not supporting staff. At the same time, let me add here, there are two distinct words here, technology development and diffusion. The technology development is for satisfying a need. I cannot develop a technology which does not address to a current need. Okay, then I will have a problem in diffusing that technology into the social domain. And technology diffusion is spreading of technological knowledge related to the specific innovation of interest to the population, to the public. So these two have to be simultaneously satisfied. So now I'll just come to a few success stories. First I'll cover some of the things what we did for the department. This is a passive catalytic combiner device for hydrogen mitigation. You know the Fukushima accident, it happened basically because large hydrogen was generated due to steam and zirconium reaction, and there were no devices to take care of this hydrogen mitigation, and we have now generated these devices. This is simply platinum palladium on some substrate, but of course the whole thing has to be done in a manner that above 5% of hydrogen in the atmosphere we should take care, because above 5% it will explode. And this particular technology now has been transferred to Electronic Corporation of India Limited, and Electronic Corporation of India has received the first order of 35 crores based on our work. Okay, the diamond-based thin film, diamond-based alpha detectors at the back end of the nuclear cycle. We needed some detectors which can be dipped into 4 molar nitric acid, obviously for plutonium, americium measurements, and this technology has been developed. There is some issues, let me not go into the details, but I'll come to some interesting examples little later. Now we are having the technology for ultra pure germanium. Now currently we are operating at 10N, the 10-9 level, and that is going for the high purity germanium detector. I'll just skip that. Let me come to the social domain and see what a difference we can make. And I'm providing the examples from chemistry because I happen to be the director of the chemistry group. You can see here, this is a nitric oxide releasing wound dressing. And you know, this is named as Banacol. BA is BRC, NO is hydrogen oxide. Col is this technology is transferred to Messrs. Collagen Healthcare Tamil Nadu. This is one view graph you can see here. This is a diabetic foot ulcer, and the normal case, the foot is amputated. And now this particular wound dressing, you can see when it's applied, on 21st day, it recovers your foot. And this dressing is very effective against a broad spectrum of infection-causing microbes. The dressing is found effective against chronic non-healing wounds, including diabetic wounds. Since it is a commercialized product, I will not go into the much of scientific details, but see what innovation, as I said, is like this. Nitrogen oxide is known for a long time as a good wound healer. In fact, those people who have got the lung ulcers, the standard treatment which is given is the inhaled nitrogen oxide. But suppose if I have got a wound on my hand, on the surface, I cannot keep flowing nitrogen oxide. So what I need is I need little innovation by which I can keep supplying nitrogen oxide to that wound on a continuous basis at whatever ppm it requires. And that was done. And you can see here, this is the original avatar of this, and this was tested on animals. Then it was, technology was incubated. Now you need a partner in the whole business to commercialize it. And this is Messrs. Collagen Healthcare. And from here, the wound dressing got transferred to this form. And these are the animal tests. And now this production has started at Collagenesis. Now you can see here the laboratory work, which I'll show you some of the publications which have come from it in the very high impact journals, have also resulted into a product which, if you look at the market size, this falls into the category of advanced wound dressing, and the wound dressing, advanced wound dressing market, the world market, by 2023 is expected to be $16 billion. So this is the kind of difference that your laboratory thing can make. And remember one thing, why this industry was important, this particular product, when it was done, it satisfied all the criteria. But then the Collagenesis, he said, your wound dressing requires 3 minutes to apply on the wound. I'll address all the questions at the end. And no self-respecting doctor or a nurse will take 3 minutes to apply a wound dressing on a wound. You need to do it in a matter of 1 minute. Then we did that. Then the second thing came is that your wound dressing, when applied to on a wound, it gives itching sensation after 2 hours. And that was because the kind of base what we were using, and then it was the base was changed to collagen, and then the problems were solved. So this is something you interact with the industry who know the pulse of the products and all that, and convert your science into a technology which is good. This is another thing which we started doing, and I'll tell you this is nothing to do with the ancient Indian knowledge or anything like that, but we have a group working on antioxidants, and haldi, the turmeric, is supposed to be the best antioxidants. And you can see here is a product which has developed for the Veena Industries out of the research what we have. Now, for ages together, we know that curcumin is an excellent molecule for various applications. It is an anti-arthritic, anti-diabetic, cardiovascular diseases, nephrotoxicity, anti-cancer drug, and chemo preventive, so on and so forth. There are so many uses. The only problem is that if you consume haldi every day, you will be taken care of this, but you do not know how much haldi you need to take. The reason being that curcumin is so sparingly soluble in water that you don't know how much you need to take. What you need to do, the chemist would think, is why, how can I make the curcumin bioavailable? And if he makes it bioavailable, then this particular thing can work wonders. And this is now a nutraceutical, which has got also many other things. But this has basically come from the entire gamut of things which we were working with the radioprotectors and antioxidants. This is one interesting thing that we have been doing for some time. You know that there are over 200 districts in the country which are affected by fluoride. The fluoride concentration in water is more than 2 milligrams per liter, and such water causes this dental and skeletal fluorosis. Now you need to identify. Now you can see that on the television, that there is a tube well, there is put a cross because there is a fluoride. How do they detect it? This is basically coming from the technology from our laboratories, and this can be used by anybody. What you do is, this is a special reagent what we have generated. Take 4 parts of water and 1 part of the reagent and mix. If the resultant solution gives you pink color, then the water is deficient in fluoride. If it gives this color, then it is normal fluoride content, 1 to 1.5 milligram per liter, safe to drink. If it gives yellow color, that means the fluoride concentration is above 2 milligram. What a beautiful sensitivity that you can achieve with this. And then don't drink this water. And I am amused that many times I have to tell people that look, this kit has been adjudged as the best kit among the 18 kits internationally by the UNICEF study. Now this is a technology which is available. Now you need to, now this is just an example. There is no point in having a technology in the lab. It needs to be diffused to the people. And then we had several camps. This is an illiterate housewife. She can also take 4 parts of water, 1 part of this reagent, develop the color and show for herself that this is fluoride deficient or in excess of fluoride. And after that, we have transferred this technology to about half a dozen industries so that they can promote in various parts of the country. Now, this is for the fluoride detection, but what about fluoride remediation? Now, suppose there is water, this is fluoride. You know that it is in excess fluoride. Can you develop some beautiful chemistry? And remember, this is for potable water. So if I have to use some technology for potable water, then I should not change the pH, I should not change the color, I should not change the odor, I should not add anything in it. It is something altogether a different technology, and that's what we have done now. And this is the flow chart. Let me not go into the detail, but again, this was tested in the laboratory for about 1000 liters with the synthetic fluoride solution. But then that's not enough. It has to go to the field. How do we take it to the field? How do I make my scientists to go to the field in the distant villages and do that? So what we do is, we combine this with the Mrs. Kayakar Premier's Bhopal. He assured that he will help us to conduct this test in 8 districts of Madhya Pradesh, and this is what has been going on now. The materials for lithium-ion battery. Now this is this came to us in a slightly different way. We have people who are working on the energy storage and materials, but this is Mrs. Utopia Automation and Control. This is from Satara. It's a 100 crore turnover company. This person is fired with this that he would like to make lithium-ion batteries for the public transport buses. You can go onto this website, Utopia Automation, and he said, look, I want these materials. And this is what all the nanotechnology that we have at our disposal, we did this, all the anode and cathode material, and this is the first indigenous lithium-ion battery in the country. And now this technology is safely with Utopia Automation, who are now making the big batteries with this. You can see this, once you start working in this domain, then you get many other things. We know that the diamond industry today is a big money spinner for the country. But the supply chain in the diamond industry is not complete. And currently, when the Chinese and the Russian onslaught on the diamond industries, you really need to cut corners to stay in the business. Now, for example, I can tell you this, that in the diamond industry, when you take the natural diamond, you find out the pure diamond portion of that. Yeah, I'll just take a few minutes. And then it is cut, you generate a lot of diamond waste. And this goes as an industrial waste. Whereas the industry buys the polishing powder, which is imported, smoothing powder, which is imported. This you waste, and this you import. Now there is a possibility of converting this into this, which is, this is another thing what we have done. I'll just take 2 more minutes and finish. When we go on travel, we buy 10 rupees, 15 rupees bottle, but what about the common man? Can he use the tap water? Well, it is very simple now. There is a biodegradable polymer what we have done, and you just have a bottle which is permanently with you. There's a small slot there, and where the chlorine dioxide generating polymer stays, you just equilibrate it for 5 minutes. All those viruses and bacteria in this will be killed, and the water is safe to drink. Now we have done this. This we want to really throw open to all over the country, and the MOU with Mrs. Kent has been signed. And the Hi-Fi Science, now this is another idea that we are generating in the chemistry group. That is for basic research, you do high-ended equipments, you assemble, you design. But at the end of that, is it possible for you to transfer that technology to an industry which can now produce large number of pieces and export? So this is a 2D infraspectrometer which has been developed in our group. And this technology, I mean this development cost is just about 25% of the imported equipment. Imported equipment would be around 1.5 to 1.6 crores. And if you take this, you will be generating in 25 to 30 lakhs. Now this, we are now going to Advanced Photonics and saying that, look, you manufacture it here. And they have the first customer that is from IIT Bombay. This is just few more examples. And you know that analytical chemistry in this country, the certified reference material all are imported, is 800 crore business annually. Can you not generate your own certified reference materials? We said that let's start doing that job. And this is that first Indian reference material. The BND means Bharatiya Nideshak Dravya. This has also happened. And I'll just last two slides is wastewater treatment. There are so many challenges in that, both at the chemistry and biology level. And we have now got this granular biomass technology, which is now working at 6,500 liter demonstration plant. And at the same time, we are also working on phototropic granular biomass technology, which is a consortium of bacteria and microalgae. So in one shot, you can do wastewater treatment, biofuel generation, and carbon dioxide sequestration. I'll just tell you a little bit more on what are the technologies on hand. This is one thing which is close to demonstration, which is the solar hydrogen technology, where you can split water using sulfur iodine cycle at 800 degrees centigrade, and a simple 1.8 meter diameter solar dish can give you about 800 to 900 degrees centigrade temperature here, which can drive this cycle. And this will eventually give rise to hydrogen as a clean fuel. And this is another ambitious project that we have taken at the national level, is closing the gallium supply chain. You know that for the devices, you have to go through all this. Unfortunately, in India, many of the supply chains are not complete, and therefore we do not compete. It's from aluminum industry, you can recover gallium at the level of commercial gallium, ultra purification to 7, 9, 8, 9 pure materials, generate the organometallic precursors to MOCVD device applications. We have this part of the technology. We don't have this. Now we are in collaboration with NALCO. We are putting this huge efforts to recover from the green liquor, where the gallium is 200 to 400 ppm. And while we did this, we also did not compromise on publications. And this is the certificate. This is exactly for the same period, 2013 to 15, that what we as received for publishing the largest number of publication in interdisciplinary chemistry in India for this period. So there was no compromise on the publication. At the same time, we could provide dozens of technologies to the media. And this is what people have been talking about, what is knowledge economy. And my understanding of knowledge economy is that if you are in the pasture quadrant, you are in the knowledge economy, because your y-axis is knowledge and x-axis is economy. So if India needs to be converted to knowledge economy, we need to polarize our researcher in this particular quadrant. So can we locate ourselves in the yes-yes quadrant? That's the question we have been always asking. And yes, it is possible, but with the little modified slogan which we in DAE we had, we used to say that this, you should work either excellent or relevant, but no, this thing is to modify that excellent must be relevant and the relevant must be excellent. And yes, it is possible to do that. And finally, I acknowledge all my colleagues in the chemistry group. This is just a small take on this. It is not enough to say that the science can benefit the society, but it must actually benefit. The beneficiaries of science then will become the promoters of science, and science will not die in that country. That is the take that I have, and thank you very much for your.
Thank you very much.
Yes, this information was, we initially did not know what is the work our research is. And when we started interacting with Collagenesis, the company, then we got